Ooh, that's a creepy song. Funeral March. Are you wondering who's dead? It's not who, but what. Something that was once the lifeblood of America. It kept the idea that this place is alive. Gave it backbone and meaning and power. Enabled it to be what made it the envy of the world. But it's dead. What is it? Hang on. I'll tell you.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
So you've noticed, huh? Free speech is pretty much dead here in the U.S. and it seems around the world. And when the ability to speak freely ends, well, so does a country. So does life, really. Smaller intellects have difficulty grasping this concept. See, here I am playing by their rule book, calling them smaller intellects. That's too kind. People who enjoy limited free speech are imbeciles, morons. They revel in speech restrictions, codes of conduct, safe spaces. They love to follow rules, any rules set by pretty much anybody. Those who set rules on free speech, well, they tend not to be morons. They're usually smart and very evil. They know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. And the motivation is always the same. Power. If you can shut people up, you can control them. Once the only way to do that was with a lethal weapon. You hold a gun on somebody and tell them to keep quiet and they probably will. But over time, evil pricks figured, you can control people by other means. Before this age of social media censors, communist China's social credit system, and the ubiquitous cancel culture, the pros were the East German secret police, otherwise known as the Stasi. I did a show about them. It was called Planet Snitch, episode 38, in the August 2017 archive at thatlarryshow.com. In East Germany, one of every six citizens worked for the secret police as informants. And the Stasi operated in much the same way as the various groups do today. They'd start nasty rumors about people, and pretty soon, those people were radioactive. They'd be fired from their jobs, shunned by friends, family, landlords. Does that sound familiar? The operative word in this shit is always secret. If they don't operate in secret, well, one or more of their victims might just pay them a visit and put out their lights. So secrecy is of paramount importance to those who have killed free speech and freedom itself. You see people on social media, from your own friends to big-time politicians, hell, even the former president, who was outright silenced by Twitter and sidelined by the mainstream media, you see people complaining about the bald-faced censorship. And censorship is the slipperiest of slopes. To facilitate it, they had to come up with a whole new vocabulary, one that soars well over the heads of the average person. And let's be real, the average person is not very bright. In fact, they're kind of stupid. George Carlin's calculus was pretty accurate when he tried to put a number on it.
Some people are really fucking stupid. Did you ever notice that, how many really stupid people you run into during the day? God damn, there's a lot of stupid bastards walking around. Carry a little pad and pencil with you. You wind up with 30 or 40 names by the end of the day. Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Yeah, vocabulary is the Jedi mind trick for morons. As I mentioned in last week's episode, it all began with redefining bullying. Forever, bullying meant a physical confrontation. Once one person laid a hand on another, the situation shifted from an argument or ridicule to bullying. Assault, actually. And then, well, all bets were off. If the victim could deck the bully, bravo! Or the victim could file criminal charges against the bully. But the moment somebody said that words were the same as physical violence, free speech was dead. Soon, though, saying words equaled violence were insufficient to keep speech dead, so they created a whole new kind of speech that no one had ever heard of. Hate speech. Have you ever seen a definition of hate speech? No, and you never will, because like beauty, that's in the eye or the ear or the mind of the beholder. So hate speech, which can now incur criminal prosecution, is a crime nobody can define, which gives anybody tremendous power, doesn't it?
I don't like what you said, or even the way you said it. That's hate speech.
Boom. Somebody gets deplatformed. Somebody's fired. Somebody's jailed. Which came first, hate crimes or hate speech? That doesn't much matter at this point. But don't hate crimes require some type of mind-reading apparatus? And why isn't every violent crime a hate crime? Has anybody ever been assaulted, stabbed, or shot out of love? I recently posted a video on Facebook in the Facebook group for this podcast. Maybe you'd like to join. Just put That Larry Show in the search bar and then answer the three questions. I'm not sure how much longer that group will be there. Anyway, this video was of a group of Canadian physicians. That means real medical doctors, unlike the phony doctor who heads up the World Health Organization or the guy who heads up Pfizer. He's a veterinarian. If that doesn't inspire confidence in Pfizer's vaccine, what would? So many people out there are calling themselves doctor. You know, at one point, Dr. Cosby, well, he held 76 doctoral degrees. They've taken a few away from him, but man, people love to claim they're doctors, don't they? When my kids were little, I put a lot of Band-Aids on their scraped knees. Maybe I'm a doctor. Anyway, these bona fide, genuine Canadian doctors video was simply stating that the panic and the terror over the Wuhan virus is unwarranted. That those who are not very elderly and have no underlying health issues should relax a bit and try to live a normal life. And presto, just like that, my so-called private Facebook group, well, it wasn't so private because that video had a banner slapped over it from the Facebook Secret Thought Police. And that banner said,
"False information in your group. Larry Blydner shared information that's been reviewed by AFP United States."
Who the fuck is AFP United States? Hang on, we'll try to find out. It goes on to say,
"We've added a notice to the post so others can see that it's false. Learn more about how Facebook works with independent fact checkers to stop the spread of false information."
Ain't that some shit? But wait, it gets better. Next comes the threat.
"If a group repeatedly shares false news, Facebook may push all of that group's content down in newsfeed, which may mean fewer people visit the group. Facebook may also stop suggesting that people join the group."
Whoa, I'm shaking, Zuckerberg. You know, I'm fairly certain Facebook has never suggested anybody join That Larry Show group. And I am 100% certain that Facebook advertising is an ineffective ripoff. The times I wasted money on it to promote my show and group, I got zero results. Zero. I was curious about this AFP United States, which is clearly more than a fact checker. When somebody calls your post a lie and labels it as such or removes it entirely, that ain't fact checking. That's censorship. But don't douchebags always bend the meaning of words or invent new ones to promulgate their lies? Yes, they do. So I checked out factcheckafp.com, and it looks fake as fuck, like a website that was made in about 1992. Somebody should slap a warning on it, saying,
"This website is bullshit."
First, it's just wallpapered with disclaimers about anything that questions the miraculous, 100% safe and effective vaccines. In fact, it is so littered with rah-rah Pfizer stories, one might assume Pfizer's a client. Hell, maybe it's a shell PR company for Pfizer. Who the fuck knows? Here's their About Us statement.
AFP launched its digital verification services in 2017 in France and has grown to become the leading global fact-checking organization with dedicated...
Oh, they're so dedicated.
Dedicated journalists in countries from the United States to Myanmar. Our journalists monitor...
No, they don't monitor. They censor.
They take into account local cultures, languages, and politics, and work with AFP's bureaus worldwide to investigate and disprove false information, focusing on items which can be harmful.
You see that word all the time, don't you? Same as hate. Harmful? Harmful to whom? Who gets to make the call on exactly what makes a news item or a post harmful? In Nazi Germany, their propaganda machine said that synagogues and people who went to them were harmful. Same as homosexuals, gypsies, basically anybody who didn't goose-step and wear a swastika was harmful.
Focusing on items which can be harmful, impactful, and manipulative.
Impactful? Ooh, God forbid anything should be impactful. You don't want any solid ideas getting out, no. Just publish party line commie propaganda, United Nations bullshit, and big farmer advertorials. Nothing that might make anyone think.
Impactful and manipulative.
Manipulative? Censorship is the ultimate manipulation. Maybe AFP is a shell company created to take the burden of censorship off Zuckerberg's shoulders. Job it out. Let somebody else take the heat when people get pissed off. The ultimate hypocrisy here is that rather than fight a lawsuit filed by the Winklevoss twins alleging that Zuckerberg stole Facebook, Zuckerberg settled. He gave them 1.6 million Facebook shares plus 20 million in cash. Now, at current market value, that works out to just about $500 million. That's a fuck ton of go-away money. And this is the guy who's telling the world about trust and safety and stopping the false information. Twitter, headed up by the petite and peculiar Jack Dorsey. It's no better than Facebook. Their trust and safety pages are awash in more Orwellian bullshit, beginning with an assertion that Twitter is dedicated to everyone. So dedicated. They're dedicated to free speech. Yet millimeters from that phony claim, they tell you they support organizations that tackle hate speech. Well, there it is again. What is hate speech? Can Dorsey define it? Can anybody? There is only speech, and it is either free or it isn't. There is no gray area. None. A little farther down the page, Dorsey's minions name a laundry list of infractions that will get you banned from the Twitterverse, including misgendering or deadnaming someone. There's also a long paragraph about what they call, quote, protected categories, unquote. Those would be people Twitter deems of higher value than others, and therefore more worthy of protection. Just like George Orwell said, everyone is equal. But some are more equal than others. But fear not, you're safe on Twitter. So if you decide to attend and participate in one of those gangbangs they frequently advertise on Twitter, the ones with pimps and hookers and felons of every stripe, clouds of methamphetamine and lots of intravenous drugs, you can do it with no worries. Wouldn't Jack Dorsey's Trust and Safety Department delete those ads if they might cause anyone harm? But they don't. So they must be safe and trustworthy. What's the fix for Twitter and Facebook? Some time ago, I suggested a globally orchestrated Flag Day in which everyone who feels threatened or offended by things they see in those platforms, and I constantly see things that offend me, that everyone who feels harmed by them, and I feel harmed by what I see too, let us all synchronize our reporting and flag every post or tweet that we feel is harmful or hurtful or hate-filled or makes us feel unsafe. And let's do it all within the same 60-second period. Wonder if that would fuck up their digital sandboxes. Flag Day. Or since they are, in fact, monopolies and malevolent ones, maybe we could resurrect the late, great Teddy Roosevelt. He was no fan of monopolies, and he busted up a bunch of them. Of course, Teddy has probably been posthumously canceled. His masculinity is way too toxic. You know, he's a big game hunter, gun enthusiast, speak softly, carry a big stick, etc. Even if we could bring him back to life, he'd probably self-combust when he saw what they've done to his country. But really, Twitter and Facebook are not the worst of it. You don't have to use either if you don't have a product or a podcast to promote. But there's no escaping the government. And now they're doing shit that makes social media look benign. The FBI has deployed new spyware that uses sentiment analysis. How about that? What for? Well, to root out wrongthink in the military. Imagine that. And if they use it on the military, why wouldn't they use it on the citizens? They probably are already. And that type of thing is very doable with text. Audio? That's another story. But the same freedom killers would love to censor podcasts too. And they've got a movement afoot to do just that. And it's gaining momentum. The cheerleaders, and they never ever look like cheerleaders, do they? They can be found in the usual cesspools, huh? MSNBC, BuzzFeed, and another pile of digital dreck, The Verge. And running true to form, they use all the smokescreen verbiage to camouflage their true intentions. This story was written by some journo called Ashley Carman. That's almost too close to Cartman, isn't it? And Carman's headline plaintively posits, "Can anyone moderate podcasts?" Moderate? What the fuck does that mean? Isn't that what talk show hosts do? Bill Maher is a moderator, right? He'd probably like to pull a plug on some guests' microphones, but he doesn't. But moderate, that doesn't sound dangerous at all. But what Carman really means is censor. But that's a hot-button word that may trigger some wariness in even room-temperature IQ readers. She says, quote,
"It's reasonable to want Apple to not benefit from clearly harmful voices."
That's a tortured sentence. And once again, there's that incredibly elastic bullshit word people like her love to toss around.
Harmful.
Wonder how she defines harmful. Probably means stuff she doesn't agree with. She goes on to say how
companies face huge challenges in even finding infringing content.
Infringing content. Now, what does that mean? Infringing on what?
People in the space have real philosophical concerns about the extent to which podcasting's open ecosystem should be policed.
Finally, a single word of truth. Policed. They want podcasts policed. It's not a very long story, but in it she uses the word moderate 26 times, and every time what she really meant was censor. This is what we're up against, folks. And look what's happening. our world continues to shrink. Those who don't toe the Marxist line must now live in the shadows. My recent episode, Shadow Living in 2021, was all about that. What's the fix? Stop apologizing. Get in their faces and tell them to fuck themselves. Demand to know why they oppose freedom and free speech. Ask why they support Nazi-like bigotry with their policies of protected categories. In other words, flip the script. Support the people that speak out for you. Write them an encouraging email. Tell your friends to watch their videos or listen to their podcasts or read their blogs and books. Speech recognition software is getting better all the time. Soon, they will be able to comb through this show or any show you like in a nanosecond and get it banned. If you'd like to help me keep this going, visit thatlarryshow.com and contribute via Patreon, PayPal, or snail mail. All the links and info is right there. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 302-71-LARRY. Now, you can follow this show on Twitter and Facebook until they ban it, which is why I would urge you to follow it on a social network that cannot be shut down because nobody owns it. There is no Zuckerberg or Dorsey to dictate their trust and safety policies. It's called No Agenda Social, and you'll find a link at thatlarryshow.com. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit. Thank you.